C-48. McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. They called me to the cornfield, Dan said, blurting it out as soon as his basement's door was securely locked. Last night. Walker's cornfield? Clark asked, his jaw suddenly slack. Did he see you? Dan nodded indifferently. He invited me inside and we talked for a few minutes, but that's not the main thing. It sure as hell sounds like the main thing. What happened? Well, I don't remember getting there, so I must have been sleepwalking or whatever you want to call it, just like last year. There was another crop circle, as small as the last one. I was inside it, and when I woke up, or came to, I guess, Rooster was licking my face. Walker was standing at the edge of the circle with a flashlight in one hand and a shotgun in the other. I could hardly run away. Did he threaten you? Did he hurt you? It wasn't like that, Dan insisted. He probably just picked it up when he heard a noise outside or saw his security light or something before he knew it was me. Clark rubbed his forehead, trying to digest everything. So what did he say? Dan shrugged. Not a lot. He's dying, so I guess there's that. He didn't really say anything except that the GSC is a threat, and he almost apologized for getting us caught up in his bullshit. He said that telling the secret, full disclosure, as he called it, is our emergency stop button in case we need it against the GSC, just like the leak sequence that kicked off the hoax was his emergency stop button in case he ever needed it against the Soviets, or the Chinese, like it turned out. He said he would do it himself, tell the truth of full disclosure, to stop the GSC, but obviously the messengers warned him that they'd step in if he tried. So you don't think he's a problem? I don't think he's relevant, Dan said. Listen, Clark, I saw something last night. I thought I was dreaming, but I could control where I looked and what I focused on. I was at Lolo and there was nothing else. No noise, no movement, nothing. Just me under the stars right in the spot where we met them. There was a flash out of nowhere, and when it died down, there was a really prominent triangle in the sky. I drew it as best I could in the right place relative to the moon and to the most obvious stars. At that point, Dan placed his hands on the false wall that shielded his wall-length research board, holding his fingertips in place momentarily until they were recognized. The wall parted to reveal a sight that was largely familiar to Clark, but for the abundance of overlapping hollow triangles cut from paper and stuck to various areas of the world map. Far more prominent than the previous shapes made with pins and string, the points of the largest of these triangles fell upon Kerguelen, Miramar, and Salzburg, while another touched the same two latter locations, but used Lolo National Forest rather than Kerguelen as the first point. Many smaller triangles lay entirely within North America, most of which used Lolo and either Birchwood or Colorado Springs as two of their three points. Clark said nothing as he took in this sight. Remember the night of the bolide? Dan went on. I told you and Emma that the engravings on the first two plaques established triangles and squares as ways of sharing information, and I pointed out that even though those plaques were fake, the messengers chose to engrave the third plaque, the only real message so far, in a way that didn't invalidate the others. You thought I was crazy, and maybe I was, but they showed me a triangle last night. Let me rephrase that. Last night, they showed me a triangle. A few days ago, I said that Kerguelen was a message for everyone, and that the next thing would be a message for me. Well, here we are, man. Here we are. So what are you thinking? Clark asked. Kerguelen is one point, Lolo is another point, and you're going to find the plaque at the third point? Where would that be? Kerguelen probably isn't one of the points, Dan said. That was a message for everyone, remember? And I think it's just too far away for the distances to make sense. At Kerguelen, they physically intervened to get everyone's attention, and they did it in a way that would get the point across without hurting anyone on the ground, just like when they halted the DS-1 launch. But to be honest, I think that's where Kerguelen stops being relevant. Lolo is probably one of the points, since that's somewhere no one else knows is important. But I don't know yet for sure. Anyway, you can call me crazy as much as you want, but in the next couple of days, I think there's going to be at least one more major incident, and maybe even two. What matters most is where they happen. Clark couldn't hide his confusion. Okay, I can't even remember if it was me or Emma who asked this first, but if they're leading you somewhere, then why are they being so cryptic about it? Last time, when they wanted us to go to Lolo, they called you to the cornfield and something inspired you to draw a map. Easy as that. Why are they screwing with your head this time? It doesn't make sense. Two real-world things are going to happen, Dan said. But because I'm the only one who saw the triangle, I'm the only one who's going to know that the third point is the key. Triangles, triangles, triangles. Dan, we're going in circles here. If they want you to find it, why are they making it so difficult? Dan pointed to his board. It's not difficult. The last few days have been difficult because I had to be so patient, but this is it. Trust me, Clark, in a week, max, the fourth plaque is going to be found, and we're going to know whatever they need us to know. You can take that to the bank. Depending on where it is, it might not make sense for me to find it. Maybe we could use Timo, we'll see how it goes. See? Timo might fit in right there. That could be the reason why I had to tell him. Everything's falling into place. You just have to trust the dots. Then, when we look back, we'll see how obviously they all fit together.
I don't know where you get your faith, man, Clark said, patting Dan hard on the back. But if this second contact last night was good enough for you, I guess it's good enough for me.
Dan grinned. Second contact. I like that. There's one other thing, though. Tara saw me coming back.
She what?
I took care of it, Dan said. She didn't see me in the light, so she didn't see that I didn't have any shoes on, and I told her I was outside because I needed some space to think. She bought it.
Clark breathed an audible sigh of relief. So, have you heard from Emma at all?
No.
It's probably smart if you give her some time, Clark said. I was pissed off by what you did. I am pissed off. Don't think that's gone. But she was stuck on that plane with him. I mean, I know she's good, but that's not an easy situation to handle.
It worked out, didn't it? You saw Timo, he's on board.
You've got some serious making up to do when she gets back, that's all I'm saying. Anyway, I'm going to catch up with Dad, and joking aside, is there any way you can rig up a bell or an alarm or something so that I would wake up if you leave the house in the middle of the night again?
That's a good idea, Dan said. I'll work something out, just in case.
Clark set off up the stairs. I always was the smart one.
Clark, wait. Dan called.
Yeah?
When you walked in earlier with that briefcase, you looked like a gorilla dressed up as a police officer on the first day of his new job in the big city.
Clark laughed involuntarily. Dan, the only reason I took that bullshit paperwork shift today was so I didn't have to sit here with you all day and try not to kill you. Seriously, just because you're our conduit to the messengers, that doesn't mean you get to treat people like that and pull the kind of shit you pulled on the plane.
It had to be done. Dan insisted. Timo had to know.
Just smarten up and think of a better line than it had to be done before Emma gets back, okay? Otherwise, something tells me she won't be sticking around for much longer.
Clark said, speaking as bluntly as he felt he had to.
Got that? And fix up the alarm thing before you go to bed, but make sure you do get some beauty sleep tonight. You know what Mr. Bird is like with his birthday portraits.
I'm already doing it.
Dan said, clicking away on his computer and ignoring the rest of Clark's message. He had forgotten that it was his birthday the following day, and didn't share the view that Emma would be all that angry with him when she got home, so neither point seemed particularly urgent. Clark stopped at the door and crouched for one last look at Dan's triangle-covered wall.
"You really think we're only a few days away from the fourth plaque?" he asked.
"There's no think." Dan said, speaking fairly robotically as his eyes and hands focused on the new alarm system he was already configuring.
I know it.